Dr. Pinsky dictating, email Ayamian, Eric, E-R-I-C-K, Gonzalez. Eric Gonzalez is a 48-year-old male. He reports he was injured at work on 7/22/13. But he was lifting up a loading dock and his helper let the release go, causing the dock to be pushed down. But as a result, he believes he injured his lower back, but did not go to the emergency room afterwards. He had further evaluation and treatment, including surgery with implantation of a plate and screws, comprising fusion, but on 1/7/14, he is unaware of his final diagnosis. He states that he completed his course of active treatment for this injury in 2018. He was out of work for 8 months due to it. He denies any previous injuries or problems to the involved areas. However, he states he was injured again on 7/21/15. Perry was on a ladder that tipped and held on with his left arm. Perry immediately experienced pain but did not sustain a fall. He ended up with fusion on the neck to address two disc abnormalities and surgery on the left shoulder in 2017 for impingement. Perry has completed a course of active treatment. New paragraph. As per his claim petition, Mr. Gonzalez was lifting loading docks on 7/22/13 and injured his lower back. Perry received an order approving settlement with respect to this accident on 3/10/20. This was for 42.5% of partial total. Perry was apportioned 32.5% permanent partial disability for the lumbar spine and 10% for the cervical spine. The prior award was 33.33%. This represents an increase of approximately 10% permanent partial disability for the lumbar spine. There was worsening of the lumbar spine, common radicular complaints worse into the left leg, and he underwent an epidural injection. This obviously was a reopener leading to an order approving settlement. As per the record supplied, Mr. Gonzalez was seen at Med Emerge on 7/31/13. Perry complained of pain in the right lower back for the past 9 days after lifting a heavy object with a co-worker. A lumbar MRI was ordered. Perry was completed on 8/10/13 to be inserted here. He followed up to have these results reviewed at MediMerge on 8/14/13. He was then referred for spine surgical consultation. New paragraph. On 9/17/13, he was seen by Dr. Gatto, G-A-T-T-O, who noted his course of treatment, injury, and MRI. Perry recommended a course of physical therapy and injections. Paired on 9/30/13, Dr. Gatto performed a left-sided L4-5 epidural steroid injection. This was repeated on 11/4/13. On 11/12/13, Mr. Gonzalez reported no relief of his symptoms. So they were going to consider surgical intervention. New paragraph on 12/2/13, he was seen by Dr. Ratzker, R-A-T-Z-K-E-R. His impression was significant L5-S1 spondylolisthesis, for which surgery was recommended. He noted the petitioner also had new tingling down his left arm that had been present for 1 or 2 months, particularly when sleeping and waking up in the morning. On 1/7/14, Dr. Ratzker performed L5-S1 decompression, fixation, and fusion. The postoperative diagnosis was L5-S1 spondylolisthesis. He had serial x-rays performed postoperatively. He followed up with Dr. Ratzker on 1/20/14 and was doing well. Period of course of physical therapy was ordered. Period he returned on an approximately monthly basis and noted improvement in his low back and radicular pain. Period therapy was continued. Period flexion extension x-rays showed excellent position of the construct with all four pedicular screws. Period there was no motion on dynamic flexion extension views. Period on 2/24/14, Mr. Gonzalez presented urgently to Dr. Ratzker, complaining of tingling down his left arm and leg. Period he stated this occurred at the start of his accident but was never treated. Period he also described unusual twitching movements, particularly when sleeping. Period he was referred for an MRI of the brain and an MRI of the cervical spine. Period. As per Dr. Ratzker's note of 3/17/14, MRI of the brain was negative. Period there were small white matter changes in the right frontal region, felt to be of no clinical significance. Period cervical MRI showed left-sided disc herniation, comma foraminal compromise at the C6-7 level, and marked impaction of the left C7 nerve root throughout the foramen. Period recommended physical therapy. Period. This did not provide him significant improvement. Period on 6/2/14, he noted exacerbation of his back when he tripped and twisted his back, although seemed to be recovering from that. Period he followed up periodically through 1/12/15, when no further treatment was recommended. Period at that point, he had been out of work for 11 months. Period, new paragraph. On 10/21/15, Mr. Gonzalez alleged to have sustained another injury. Period, he was working on an overhead door in the warehouse. Period, as he was winding the spring tension, his left arm became caught between a ladder and a wall. Period, he felt a pull in his neck with radiating pain down the left arm. Period, the following day, he was seen at Med Emerge. Period, they noted a history of a cervical disc herniation from 2 years earlier. Period, he had numbness in the left elbow as well as the fourth and fifth digits. Period, he was referred for x-rays of the left elbow and shoulder. Period. He continued to be seen in this facility through 10/29/15. Period on 11/4/15, he saw a hand specialist named Dr. Jeffrey Miller. Period, he ordered EMG / NCV study. Period, this was done on 11/19/15 and was read as a normal study. Period, underlying this, we need the name of the doctor who did the EMG inserted here. He returned to Dr. Miller on 12/2/15 to discuss these results. Period, a local cortisone injection was administered to the left carpal tunnel. Period, he reported 20% improvement from said injection on 12/16/15. Period, diagnosis was possible brachial plexus stretch injury, so he was referred to an orthopedic surgeon. Period, new paragraph. On 1/13/16, he was seen by orthopedic surgeon Dr. Matthew McConnell. Period, he noted a history of, and felt his ongoing symptoms were related to a cervical radiculopathy. Period. He ordered a cervical spine MRI. Period. This was done on 1/18/16. Period. There was a C5-6 central subligamentous herniation and C6-7 disc bulging, impinging on the thecal sac, comma straightening of the normal lordotic curvature, and a shallow dextrocurvature. Period. There was a left maxillary antral retention cyst and mild chronic right maxillary antritis, A-N-T-R-I-T-I-S. Period. He sought Dr. Miller again on 127.16 and was deemed to be at maximum medical improvement regarding the left hand and wrist. Period. New paragraph on 127.16, visit with Dr. Miller. His shoulder had remained painful, and he had persistent symptoms in the left hand. Apparently, he did not feel he could help the patient, and referred him back to Dr. McDonald. But he was deemed to be at maximum medical improvement regarding the hand and wrist. Period. On the visit of 3/16/16, Dr. McDonald wrote he remained symptomatic and recommended epidural injection. Period. MRI of the cervical spine was of poor quality. Period. A left shoulder MRI was done on 3/22/16 and showed mild supraspinatus tendon tendinopathy, lateral acromial downsloping. Period. Dr. McDonald reviewed the results with him on 4/13/16. Period. He was seen by Dr. Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N, on 5/11/16, who diagnosed herniation of cervical intervertebral disc and cervical disc disorder with radiculopathy in the mid-cervical region, comma C5-6 and C6-7. Pretty recommended an epidural injection that was performed on 5/23/16. Pretty follow-up on 6/1/16, he reported no relief from the injection. Period. Another epidural was given on 6/21/16. Period. The petitioner again reported no relief on the visit of 7/6/16. Period. On 7/20/16, Dr. McDonald recommended a new cervical spine MRI. Period. This was done on 7/26/16 and was simply read as, quote, mild degenerative changes. Period. End quote. New paragraph. He was then seen on 8/8/16 by Dr. Monica, M-O-N-I-C-A, who diagnosed left shoulder impingement syndrome. Period. The subacromial space was injected with corticosteroids. Period. On 8/24/16, he told Dr. McDonald that injection was not effective. Period. Dr. McDonald also noted the cervical spine results from 7/26/16. Period. More specifically, there was a disc osteophyte complex at C6-7 with severe left-sided foraminal stenosis. Period. He felt this produced a cervical radiculopathy, and the petitioner was a candidate for proposed surgery at C6-7. Period. On 10/4/16, Dr. McDonald performed anterior cervical discectomy / decompression and fusion at C6-7 with use of structural allograft and plate and screw instrumentation. Period. He followed up postoperatively on 10/19/16 and described some mild left upper extremity radicular complaints. Period. He continued to be monitored by Dr. McDonald and the other providers. Period. He underwent serial x-rays of the cervical spine. Period. On 3/21/17, Dr. Monica performed left shoulder arthroscopic debridement, comma subacromial decompression, and open biceps tenodesis. Period. The postoperative diagnosis was left shoulder impingement with a type 2 slap tear. Period. The petitioner participated in a functional capacity evaluation on 8/17/17. Period. This found he demonstrated inconsistent effort during 4 of 6 components of the evaluation. Appeared to have 3 positive non-organic signs. Paired 2 of 3 indicators of self-limited performance during the left grip strength testing, and a high coefficient of variation in 9 out of 15 whole body strength tests. Paired was a self-limited performance during the physical examination. Paired accordingly, this was not an accurate portrayal of his maximum physical abilities. Period. The therapist nevertheless concluded he met the essential postural demands of his occupation. Paired, however, based on significantly self-limited performance during whole body strength testing, he does not meet the essential physical demands of his occupation. Period. At a minimum, he was capable of working in the light physical demand category. Period. On 9/13/17, flexion extension x-rays the lumbar spine showed post-surgical change at L5-S1, common narrowing of intervertebral disc base at L5-S1 with spondylolisthesis at that level, semicolon, no change in alignment during flexion and extension. Paired, a lumbar MRI was then done on 9/13/17, whose impressions will be inserted here. Period. Dr. Ratzker reviewed these diagnostic studies with him on 9/25/17 and recommended physical therapy. Paired, as of 10/2/17, he deemed the claimant had reached maximum medical improvement regarding the left shoulder. Period. He continued to see Dr. McDonald in follow-up for the cervical spine surgery, period. On 10/2/17, he deemed the petitioner had reached maximum medical improvement, period. He was then seen by a physiatrist named Dr. Yana, Y-A-N-O-W, period. She performed an L4 epidural steroid injection on 2/20/18, period. On 2/26/18, he conveyed there was no improvement, so no further injections were recommended, period. He followed up with Dr. Ratzker through 3/5/18. He explained the options were to live with the pain or undergo further surgical intervention. Pretty then was seen by another physiatrist named Dr. Chen, C-H-E-N. Period. He performed acupuncture through 6/1/18. Period. It is my understanding he returned to work for 3 months between October 2017 and 1/3/18. When he stopped working because the job was too heavy. Period. He applied for unemployment, which he received for 11 weeks. Period. He was seen by Dr. Elmore on 5/16/19, but he was also seen on 5/24/19 by Dr. Koblenz, C-O-B-L-E-N-T-Z. Period. He noted review of his 4/3/19 report and the additional medical documentation supplied for the neck. He found the neck disability at 12.5% partial total. Period for the left shoulder. He continued to offer 7.5% of partial total disability. Period. Dr. Elmore concluded he was involved in 2 injuries and underwent 3 surgeries. At the present time, he had no findings of underlying neurologic dysfunction from his cervical spine. He had a good outcome from surgery and suffered 0% disability as a result. He has subjective complaints consistent with residual lumbar radiculopathy involving his left leg despite undergoing surgery. He estimated 5% permanent neurologic disability as it relates to initial injury, but there was 0% permanency on a neurologic basis with regards to the left shoulder. Period finally, he suffered no neuropsychiatric disability. Period. Physical examination. Extremities upper inspection revealed healed portal and open surgical scars about the left shoulder. Period, there was no swelling, atrophy, or effusions. Period, left shoulder abduction and flexion were 170 and 160 degrees respectively, with tenderness but no crepitus. Period, motion of the shoulders, elbows, wrists, and fingers was otherwise full in all spheres without crepitus, tenderness, triggering, or locking. Period, manual muscle testing was 5-5 for resisted left elbow extension and shoulder abduction, but was otherwise 5/5. Hands, wrists, elbows. He had a positive Tenelle's and Phelan's maneuver on the left, which were negative on the right. Shoulder maneuvers, normal. Extremities lower. Inspection revealed surgical scarring about the left leg that he attributed to an earlier soccer injury. Paired motion of the hips was full in all spheres, but external rotation on the left elicited low back tenderness. Paired motion of the hips, knees, and ankles was otherwise full without any crepitus or tenderness. Paired the rest of that is normal, spine cervical. Inspection revealed a left anterior transverse scar consistent with his surgery. Paired active flexion was variable somewhat between 45 and 50 degrees, but was full in all other planes. Paired was tender at the left trapezius in the absence of spasm, but there was none on the right. Comma in the midline, comma over the paracervical musculature. Paired thoracic normal lumbosacral inspection revealed a midline 2.5-inch longitudinal scar consistent with his surgery. Pretty sat comfortably at 90 degrees lumbar flexion, but actively flexed only 40 degrees and extended to 20 degrees. Paired bilateral rotation of the side bending were accomplished fully. Paired he was tender in the midline along his scar as well as the left paravertebral musculature in the absence of spasm, but there was none on the right. Paired supine straight leg raise maneuver on the right at 80 degrees and left at 70 degrees. Elicited only low back tenderness without radicular complaints. Period. The rest of that section is normal. Impressions. Eric Gonzalez alleged to have injured his cervical lumbar spine at work. First on 7/22/13, period, he underwent extensive diagnostic testing and treatment, period, this culminated in surgery on the lumbar spine to be inserted here, period, he then claimed to have been injured again at work in 2015, period, he then had surgery on the cervical spine as well as the left shoulder. Period. He was then deemed to have achieved maximum medical improvement by orthopedic common hand specialist in neurology as well as physiatry. Period. He apparently has not had any additional treatment in the last few years. He did have permanency evaluations by Dr. Elmore and Dr. Koblenz, as noted above. Period. New paragraph, the current examination found there to be mildly decreased range of motion about the left shoulder associated with crepitus. Period. Provocative maneuvers at the shoulders were negative. Period. Had a positive Tenelle's and Phelan's maneuver on the left, suggestive of carpal tunnel syndrome. Period. He had healed surgical scarring and variably decreased range of motion about the cervical and lumbar spines. Paired supine straight leg raise maneuvers were negative for radicular complaints. Paired neural tension signs were negative. Paired new paragraph. From my perspective, he has 12.5% permanent partial total disability referable to the lumbar spine. Paired has 12.5% permanent partial total disability referable to the cervical spine. Paired has 7.5% permanent partial total disability referable to the left shoulder. Period. He did not offer complaints of increasing symptoms since his awards were issued. Period. End.